Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us today on Tetelestai. We are continuing observing and looking at the possible evidences that seem to indicate that obviously something in the spiritual realm has shifted ever since the turning of the late 19th, early 20th century as it relates to various signs that seem to indicate that we are moving toward, obviously, the return of the Messiah, and what John speaks of in Revelation 20 as the loosing of Satan to be able to go out and deceive the nations after having been bound for an exceedingly long period of time, from having been able to deceive the nations and hold them in darkness, because the gospel has been able to go forth since the resurrection and ascension of Messiah. And he indicates in Revelation 20, John does, that the enemy is loosed for a brief season, and he's going to lead the peoples of the earth, gather them together to make war against the people of God, both Jew and Gentile, those who believe and follow the Messiah. And as we have looked at this and wanted to say, hey, is it possible that Satan has been loosed? Now, I'm certainly not going to say with any absolute definitive, you know, declarations that yes, it has happened. All I'm simply challenging you to do is look at some evidence and at least acknowledge something has definitely changed. And it's evident that it has changed. And what that indicates, what that means, we're not 100% sure. I mean, we could see things go sideways for a period of time, and again, it could be another 500 years before Jesus comes back, or longer. We don't know. It seems that the signs that he spoke of indicate that we are drawing near to that time, but again, only he knows the day and the hour. Now, what we started out doing, and we didn't have podcasts yesterday, but last week and on Monday this week, we began to look at some of the things that Scripture, the declarations of Jesus, of Paul, of Peter, of John, describing those end days and how they would be leading up to the final battle. You know, frightening and unprecedented times, times of apostasy, falling away, the revelation of the Antichrist, perilous, hard times, times for scoffers, times when immorality is going to flourish. I mean, a number of different statements made by them to give us sort of an indication of the atmosphere and the landscape and what it's going to look like when that time comes. So, let's start investigating. Now, whenever there is a trial, and I mentioned this on Monday, whenever there's a trial, when we start talking about burden of proof, somebody has a burden of proof. Somebody who is either trying to defend someone who's been accused of something, or those who are trying to prosecute someone who's been accused of something, both have to be able to present evidence, both as far as physical evidence, producing physical evidence, and then being able to persuade those who are listening that this person is guilty or not guilty. You know, the burden of proof is a party's responsibility to be able to prove a disputed charge, or an allegation, or even defend it. The burden of proof, like I said, has two components. It's the production aspect and the burden of persuasion. So the burden of production has to do with the obligation to present evidence to a judge or to a jury. Now, the burden of persuasion is the duty to convince the judge or a jury to a certain standard. And that standard has to be, as we all probably are familiar with, beyond a reasonable doubt. So let's look at the burden. Let's look and produce some evidence and present it that points in the direction that something has radically changed since the close of the 19th century. First of all, let's look at the current moral status of the world. I mean, good grief. If Paul described the last days as being times of rebellion, times of wickedness, times of lawlessness on a massive scale, well, I would say globally more than just nationally, we're there. There's just no way anybody can look at what's happening in the world and say, man, something's radically different today than it was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, you never heard of such kinds of wickedness and sin. Oh, they were around, but in pockets. But this is something now, this wickedness and the moral laxity is global. I mean, when Paul talks about the last days and them being difficult times, as we referred to, he talked about people being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, no self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, religious or spiritual as the word is today, although they have denied its power, avoid such people, such men, such women as these. We look at the moral landscape and it is dark. We have, you know, a lot of confusion, a lot of perversion sexually. I mean, today, right is wrong, wrong is right, darkness is light, light is now darkness, and darkness is now preferred over light. We have the rise of paganism. We have the rise of the occult. We have, there are people getting pieces of the puzzle into place, and we'll see this in as we continue to move forward through this evidence this week, for a one world government, a one world currency. I mean, those puzzle pieces, and the even though there may have been seeds sown for this stuff back in the 19th century, the pieces, the physical actual pieces of the puzzle didn't start really getting laid into place for everything to be able to move in this direction until the 20th century. So just the moral status, and as I just read from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3, Jesus described the wickedness, it would be as the days of Noah. Now, obviously, when he talked about the days of Noah and the flood coming, he was predominantly there describing the shock and surprise. You know, life was going on as normal, and then boom, judgment came. But there was an atmosphere in the days of Noah. Men's hearts were wicked. They were chasing wickedness. They were soaked in wickedness. They were caught up in wickedness. Their hearts were only doing evil continually, thinking up new ways to do evil. And Paul even talks about this in the end of Romans 1, applauding people who do evil and thinking up new kinds of evil to do. And look, this is exactly what's going on today. The moral status of our society and culture today is like night and day compared to what it was 100 years ago, or even globally. Again, I'm not saying there wasn't sin. I'm not saying there wasn't wickedness. I'm not saying there wasn't immorality or perversion. They all were there. But on a scale like they are today, that it was not that way. My grandparents, your grandparents would be very shocked to look at the world and see the world as we see it today. And they would not believe the degradation and the black hole of wickedness that we as a nation and globally have seemingly sunk into. So that's one evidence that seems to indicate that something has shifted in the moral realm as well as the spiritual one, and we'll see that as well as we continue to move forward discussing this. All right, so that's you know, Exhibit A. Okay. So we're going to continue to move through this as we go through the rest of this week and next week, probably. I hope that you have a great day. Hope that you're blessed and you walk with Jesus and continue to let his light shine through you to everyone around you. Be the vessel of love, the love of God that people around you will need you to be today.